Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is your host, Zainab. Welcome to our program, Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss your questions and concerns about the Islamic upbringing of children. Our guest experts draw their answers from the Noble Quran, authentic ahadith, and narrations from the Noble Imams. Joining us is Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, who is a Hausa expert with a psychological background, a perfect combination for today's conversation. Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
We have been talking on a very important topic, how to calm your children during the wartime. And why not? The children will get scared. Why not? Because the first very attack that was done on an elementary school in Minab. May Allah's curse be on the enemies of Islam. May Allah's curse be on the child killers. So we had more than 168 children, Brother Liaqat, who got martyred in a tomahawk missile attack, which they claimed later on that is their own job. And when it was proved that the missile was tomahawk, which only United States possesses, and the footages were out, then they had no answer. And one of their defense officers recently admits to an undercover journalist at a restaurant that it was a collateral damage. So they accept it was their job. So when they're killing our children as young as who are studying in the elementary school, so the children have this right to get panic, have fear. And we are here to help the parents how to calm these children, especially when they know that their schools are no more a safe place.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first thing is, of course, the decision which was taken by the Iranian authorities to stop the children from going to schools. Like, of course, they have said that from now on, the schools are on holiday and
online.
Have classes only online. So yeah, that was a good decision. Number two is
don't trust the child killers.
Sorry?
Because we don't trust the child killers.
Yeah, they can. And of course, they can't be trusted.
There
were about more than 100 schools which were targeted after this as well. It was not just, okay, even after admitting that they have hit the schools, still they want to bomb the schools. This is what they have been doing
And not just the schools. It's a very important
even
dimension.
Even the universities.
Universities. And as we are talking about the Islamic upbringing here and at topics are usually related to the children and teens.
Mm-hmm.
The neonatal hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The neonatal hospital Mahatma Gandhi in Tehran.
Yeah, the Gandhi hospital was also targeted.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, number one, which is very important over here, is we have to limit the news exposure to our children.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because when they are at home, they have this tendency to watch the news, and the more they watch, the more they might get panicked. Okay?
And as it's coming from different sources, when they are covering their own war, definitely it's exaggerated.
Yeah, sometimes it's more exaggerated than, like, they don't show what the reality is. And even the thing which I have said even in the previous episode, that The very fact that there are ships and there's a blockade, I don't know what, not, yeah, and they're surrounding the Persian Gulf, and this in itself is a psychological warfare, and
indeed.
And of course this is normally shown on the television as well. So a child might get panicked, okay? So this is one side of the story.
Yeah.
The other side of the story is how you can make them more resistant in the face of aggression. So example, we can see the children in today's era, example, especially in Iran, they carry the pictures or the photos, the posters of the Minar children in
yeah.
their hand.
Yeah.
And they are actually saying, the enemy, we are going to revenge the blood of the children of Mina.
Indeed.
So you see, this is another side of the story.
Yeah.
It's
and
not
to
always...
And to add to that, I happened to talk to some young girls
mm-hmm.
on the daughter's day.
Okay.
The first of Zikada. It's a birthday of Lady Masuma Salam Leleha, and also considered as daughter's day in Iran.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of girls in the rallies. And I said, why you're not home? Why you're not celebrating with a cake and all? Because it's your day. It's a daughter's day once in a year.
Yeah.
And they were like, we are here for the daughters of Minab.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
For the girls of Minab. We are here to tell them that we are marching for you, and we are celebrating the daughter's day instead of you here on the streets.
Amazing, amazing. So you see, like, it's not always necessary that the children are in state of panic. So it all depends on the parents in the first place, of course, about how they are portraying, how they are putting forward the news. It's sometimes that the news is being shown from an international website or the international news, okay, which is portraying the exaggerated one. Normally, all the tweets which are being posted, especially by the president
yeah.
of America, are normally of exaggeration. It has
and
no
I,
value.
I really don't understand, like, why do we have to take seriously somebody's tweet? Like... as the, you know, that we have Khadim al-Anbiya spokesperson
uh-huh.
who says to him, if you really want to talk, come to the battlefield.
Hmm.
Tweet is not a thing wherein you are going to
the reason why parents
share.
And even other people
take it seriously
is because he is a person who is in state of power. Like, he can apply power
mm-hmm.
and he can launch a massive attack.
Yeah.
He has the authority, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
So when he tweets something, it's a threat. And even the Iranian authorities consider it as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just saying out of, like, nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when he is saying something, there's a threat. Of course, when he says that I'm going to wipe out the whole civilization, you know that this is completely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be true, okay?
Yeah.
And number two is... so there's a kind of thing like to panic and
mm-hmm.
Which can be said, okay, fine, because he has said so. But the thing which is more important than the tweet itself is what you have in your mind about that particular person.
Yeah.
Example, if you have an ideology, if
mm-hmm.
you have a belief that he is going to execute
yeah.
whatever he says.
Yeah.
And he's such a person,
mm-hmm.
then you can, okay, you
panic
have
will increase.
You have right, okay, to get panicked or the parent, of
mm-hmm.
course. But when you see such a tweet, oh, your child
mm-hmm.
over here, who is smaller in age, of course, like 10, 12, 15,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Different age groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we
of course, 20 even, yeah.
yeah.
When they read this tweet
mm-hmm.
and they are now fearful, okay, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have read this tweet. Then you will make the child understand.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, as I told you, which is very good in doing tarbiyah, is taking him or her out. Taking
yeah.
taking the children out
into the night rallies.
Into the real battlefield.
Yeah.
That is the rally, of course.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
So that will teach them, even if you don't say anything. Okay.
Yeah.
And from your side, what is important for you to tell your child is, you know he is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You know these tweets who don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, showing the videos of Khatam al-Anbiya. Now that the half side of the news is shown to the child and he has read the tweet, Now, you will show the big picture.
Yeah.
If he attacks, there's bigger and massive attacks from our side,
right,
from the resistance group.
Right.
For which is the reason this threat is bigger than that threat.
Exactly.
Than the threat which he has given.
Right.
So he won't do anything.
Right.
He doesn't have the guts.
Right.
He's not a person of resistance. We are the people of resistance. You see?
Indeed.
So in this way, you will calm the... So I would say this to all the parents. Never ever show only the half picture,
mm-hmm,
of the news.
Yeah.
Show the clear and the fuller picture.
Yeah.
And that is, the resistance group is with us.
Mm-hmm.
The resistance group is with the religion of Islam.
Indeed.
So, alhamdulillah, we are always going to win the battle. Why? Because we are resistance. And of course, like, we are the ones who are going, are from the ghalibun.
Yeah.
We are those who will
overpower.
The oppressors.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Let's take a short break here and we'll discuss more with you after a short break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear parents. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing and we are talking about the fact, how do we calm our children during the wartime? So, Brother Liaquat is with us and trying to help us on the topic. So, Brother Liaquat, you said that in these war times, there are a lot of things parents can do. They can lessen the amount of news broadcasts in front of their children, and especially the exaggerated ones. And if they get this exposure to news somehow, then at least show them the resistance part as well. Like as you mentioned, Khatam al-Anbiya has been very resistant, talking in all languages and giving back answers to all the threats in a very, very powerful manner. And alhamdulillah, that has really worked a lot. And that has really reduced a lot of stress, I would say, for the elders and for children as well, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, talking about children of Iran, I think Iranian parents have been very, very successful to develop this resistance within their children. I think children very well know now what to do, how to do, and how to deal with all this. And while I was doing reporting from the ground itself, I happened to visit an explosion site wherein I saw a kid crying. And I asked the kid, why are you crying? After 2-3 days after attack, he was on the explosion site. And he said, because this... the place where you're standing right now was the door to my friend's house. I used to come this time, ring the bell, and he used to come out.
How old was he?
He was 8 or 9 years okay. old. And he was saying to me that I used to ring the bell here, and I used to say to Ali Akbar, please come out. And we used to play football on the ground and all. And that was the moment my cameraman lost it all, and he started crying. And we all started, actually, because the way this boy was waiting, still imagining he could ring some bell and his friend will come out to play with him.
It was very painful.
It was painful because after that, he abruptly showed his friend's picture to us from his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm trying his number.
Ajay.
And he's not answering. I am trying to find his door. There's no door. All this was very, very painful. But at the same time, my cameraman happened to tell this boy one sentence at the end. And I want you to explain this one for us. He said to him, I'm sorry that you have grown up too much, too early.
Mm.
These were the days for you to play.
Amazing.
So how do you think these children are growing up in these situations?
Yeah. You know, when a person says so, it talks about the lessons which have been learned by this amazing resistance. So if we consider the plane, like the Battle of Ashura, the Battle of Karbala, there we can see like children who are as young as 9 years or even younger, they have learned a big lesson.
Yeah.
What elders can't learn ever. Like the enemy side were thousands and thousands. But over here we can see Abdullah ibn Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, going towards the battlefield in order to protect his uncle, that is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We can see Qasim ibn Muhammad. Hassan alayhi salam, like literally begging from his uncle so that he sends him to the battle.
Yeah.
So you see,
martyrdom to me is more sweeter than honey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So these have learned lessons what the elders didn't learn ever.
Indeed.
So this is a sign of a grown-up human being.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this child can take lessons in his future.
Yeah.
Based on this particular incident.
Indeed.
So like how you have stopped over there. You wanted to flee, but you didn't from there. You have stood, you have chanted Allahu Akbar, and the second time it happened,
there were four.
Yeah. There were four. You had the opportunity. There were not many.
Yeah.
Like you didn't see many people not fleeing.
Yeah.
There were only four, but you didn't flee.
No.
This child and all the children who have learned lessons have grown up from this incident.
I like, so, you know, they could have fled from the explosion site. Maybe anything else could happen here again. You know, as they say, this butterfly revolves around the candle. Mm-hmm. I saw this child revolving like the that butterfly around this martyrdom place of his friend. Anyways, that's the resistance, and that's how Iran will live long and will be remembered in history.
In pain,
as
there is resistance.
Yes.
This is always there.
Yes. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing all those valuable insights. Thank you, dear friends. For tuning in, you were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is time.